Hello, everyone. This is Hockey Talkie. I am Travis. We've got Jesse here beside me. How's it going, Jesse?
Pretty good. Game of Thrones started yesterday.
Oh, you watch it?
Yeah, it's so good. I'm sure you'll watch it here soon.
I already watched it.
Well, there we go.
It was good.
I don't want to spoil anyone for anyone that's seen anything yet, but obviously pretty cool episode, so looking forward to
good.
It.
Good. And hockey's almost coming?
Yeah, hockey's-ish, you know.
Like winter is coming?
Yeah, hockey winter is coming. It's true.
Kind of, something like that. We got a jam-packed episode for you guys today. This whole episode is going to be on what to do if you're new to fantasy hockey or if you're in a league. We're going to have some, how many do we got here? Eight? We got eight tips written down of how to be a good fantasy player.
Yeah, we'll go over basically everything you should need to know. Even if you're super fresh or like a seasoned veteran like we are, there's always stuff you can add and learn. So we'll try to go over as much as we can as possible. We'll definitely add some tips as well for if you want to be a creator of a league. We'll try to touch on that as well. It should be very similar to just joining a league as well. We'll touch it as well. But
yeah, a lot of them are very similar tips and tricks, but we kind of grouped them. We came up with a list together and I think these are the best ones.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll start off with the first one here. First one was basically just going to, it's just basically know your league, right? This comes down to mainly like scoring, the rules you have, the players, like the managers kind of thing, what type of league it is to begin with. Is it a dynasty league? Is it a keeper league? And that's just the main thing. So you go in there, you talk to your commissioner, and you'd be like, hey, can you send me the scoring? Can you send me this? Blah, 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 blah. And then you just go from there. It seems pretty simple, but it is one of the main ones you can, like the most important thing you can do coming into a new league. We had some new people come into our league, I think, last year, not this year, but the year before. And the same thing, we made sure we sent them all like basically PDFs of all the, PDFs of all the rosters, the rules and everything like that, so everyone could read and get prepared. And if they had any questions, they can ask us, the commissioners as well. So that's basically the main thing.
It's super, super important.
Yeah, it seems
to
super
know
important.
What you're getting into.
Yeah,
right. If you're going into a league and you see all these players are getting drafted that are like bruisers and stuff, when you don't know that your team counts PIM, as like a, in the scoring system, you're going to be out to lunch.
Yeah,
you're not going to have the knowledge or the research, whatever you bring to the draft to get your players off. If you're not going to know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why you have to know the league you're going into.
If you're keepers and stuff is really important for this knowing. If you're going into a league and everyone already has keepers, how are you coming into the league? Are you going to get a keeper?
Yeah,
are you
inheriting a team from a leaver? Or there's lots and lots of questions. Obviously, if you're very, very new, I wouldn't recommend joining a keeper league or a dynasty league for your first year or two.
Some people are adventurous.
Some people, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I just think you'll have a lot better time just doing a simple league with just your friends kind of thing and doing like some point scoring. But if you do join leagues, this is the only way you'll succeed. You can't just go in blind and assume everything is the same. But yeah, like I said, it's for sure. If you're in PIM leagues, shot leagues like we have, there's so many stats that you can easily get overwhelmed with, and you definitely need to get at least a handle on the scoring system for sure. So
it is really, even without the scoring system, knowing your league and how they run it is also important too. We do managers meetings before the league starts. We talk about rules,
grievances, whatever you want
to, and people have to for the draft day. We ask that people show up for the draft day or Skype in so we get to know everyone. You know, those things are really important. If you just want to join an online community where you don't have to be there, you don't have to Skype in or something, that maybe is better for you. But you have to know what you're getting into before you commit to a league, before you commit to a year-long commitment.
And to touch on that as more, there's also things you can learn from people as well. I mean, if you're in a, you know, friends league or with people you know, getting to know them can be to your advantage because you actually can learn how people draft. And for example, we've had, I mean, not going to pick on the same people I always pick on, but we have people who are extremely Calgary Flames fans, and it would just be 6-7 straight Calgary Flame guys off the board for them. And you can sort of draft around these people because you know that – hey, chances are if these goalies are left, say he's going to draft the Flames goalie 9 times out of 10 versus the other goalie. Or
exactly.
I mean, I'm a super Washington Capitals homer, and I used to draft them like crazy. Same with Philly. I think 1 year I had like 9 Philly players, and it was just...
How'd that work out for you?
I don't even remember. I remember I got Jeff Carter with my last pick, and he scored like 49 goals. I still finished like 8th in the league or something, but it was... It can work out. It can't work out. And we had a guy win with like 10 Detroit players.
Yep.
When Detroit was like unstoppable. So, but these are the things you can pick up from people, their drafting habits. People just have favorite players as well.
Yes.
And you can definitely, I mean, it's kind of an evil strategy, but drafting people's players they like can also net you higher stuff in return. I don't know. For example, I think it's happened before. I don't know. I've traded people's favorite players to them for players that I've wanted in return. It happens all the time. So if you have a chance to do it and you say, though, hey, like Jesse's in the league, Jesse's a Capitals fan, and I have a chance to draft Backstrom or something, chances are you could get what you want from this guy for a little bit higher than normal because these guys feel invested in their teams. And it's like the best thing I can describe it as for is just like, don't be a homer. Try to be as impartial as you can to players. Research all the teams. Like, you can easily win pools just by knowing all 31 teams.
Oh, we're getting ahead into number two.
Yeah, we can sort of segue into that. I can't really think of anything else besides number one. Obviously, learn the rules, get the rules. If you're in a in-person league, meet the people, see what jerseys they're wearing, track their drafting styles.
That's even sneakier.
Yeah, there's always things you can pick up.
Let's jump into the next one. Number two on our list is research.
Yes.
So you just touched on it there. Knowing the players, knowing the league, like the NHL league, will help you a lot. Someone's going to go into the draft only knowing Flames.
Yeah, three teams, like Alberta teams or something, wherever you are.
Yeah, or Ontario or something like that, right? You know three teams that are around you. But if you know other teams like Phoenix, maybe an Ekman-Larsson will come around and you'll be like, oh, he's a really good player, but no one else knows him because they don't follow that area of the country.
Yeah, exactly. You can wait on players. You can draft... Like, there'll always be a few guys who are just, like, unprepared, only know the stars' names, and you can just, like, destroy them in later rounds because you actually pay attention. You're like, oh, Eichel's a good player, but he's on Buffalo. No one watches Buffalo, but, hey, that's awesome. I actually just got Eichel off this guy for, like, late round or something. So, that's basically the big thing with research is I know it's cool to have players on your own team and stuff like that, but to be as successful in fantasy, you really, really need to know all the teams.
Yeah.
And, obviously, the deeper you go, the more you go, the more names will become familiar to you. I mean, I know more hockey players' names than probably friends or people in my life.
Oh, I agree.
Like, I could probably sit down and just write 600 player names just because, like, that's just... Once you get into the research, it just starts sticking to your brain and stuff like that.
I know more hockey players than presidents.
Yeah.
Or, like...
Yeah, anything. I can't think of a group of people that I know more than just... Yeah, it's disgusting.
Then just hockey.
Hopefully you'll soon join this, join us in the dark side of player stats. But yeah, so the main thing is like where you find your stuff. So like where would you find things, you think?
Well, we were talking about this before. There's lots of good ways to get your information. There's lots of news apps like RotoWorld has like a hockey app and stuff. And you can actually get active alerts when like things happen. So if players get traded and stuff, that'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter. Also really good. You can follow the teams. They can tell you who's scoring, when to pick them up. Mm-hmm. And you can also follow like individual teams.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
That'll help you for those markets that you don't get to watch as much.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you're on the other side of the country or wherever you are, it's different. We were talking about magazines.
Yeah, magazines is an interesting one. I only buy one magazine per year. I buy the Hockey News magazine. I'm not saying it's the best magazine or anything like that. You have to find a magazine that's best for you. I don't believe in buying multiple magazines. The more magazines you buy, the more you just get the super conflicted information.
Yes.
And you'll get player rankings that are just, and you gotta like be like, well, which one is this? Me personally, I buy the one magazine and then I take my pen out and I go and I write little notes beside every single player at the back, dips and like arrows if I think they're going to get higher than their points, lower than their points, their values and stuff like that. So, It's a good thing to find. Just sit there in the magazine aisle next time you're shopping or whatever, and you got like 10, 15 minutes to kill, peruse through them all, find which one you think reflects your pre-predictions the most kind of thing, and then that should be good, and then just take it and go from there. Like, none of these magazines are... I mean, I have magazines that I would rate lower than other magazines.
And sometimes the like the orders and stuff that they have players rated in are like very far off.
Yeah.
We actually had a, was it last year or the year before, we picked up a magazine in the stand and they were missing Robin Leonard?
Yeah, we had to send them a message. They're like, oh, we didn't even think Buffalo's goalie was going to get a win is what basically what he told us.
And yeah, we hit him up on Twitter.
Yeah, and it was the Hockey News. It was the same magazine. I was like, man, they don't even have a Buffalo goalie on this list in the top 50 goalies. I was like, they think this guy's going to get two wins, and that's more than the Buffalo starting goalie. And he's like, of course, his tweet back was kind of lame, but he's just like, whatever.
Yeah, he just said, if you're gonna pick a Buffalo goalie, you need more help than
magazine. And I'm like, okay, sure, buddy. Anyway, yeah, magazines are a really good tool if you don't have these kind of things and you don't want to sit there and read, because you can just always have the magazine, read on the toilet, read it wherever you want to do it.
Yeah. And magazines are really good for like having the full list.
Yes.
Unless you want to print off your own at home, which is fine too. You can do that. But they also have really nice big lists of 250 players or whatever.
And the goalies and everything. Yeah.
So make your own notes though, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just bring a piece of loose leaf, or if you want to scratch up the magazine with your pen, then go ahead. It's just, I'd say magazines are in the realm of, I'd say it's like 60% accurate. The best ones I've seen. The worst one I ever seen, I don't know, am I allowed to like flame people on this? Like, can I like flame a publication? It was, I forget what it's called.
Should we tell them where to find us before you do this? At Fantasy.
At Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook or Twitter. No magazine just yet. Maybe one day. But I think it's called Fantasy. It's like, I think it's the yellow one that you always buy.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's yellow, and it had the worst rankings I've ever seen in my life.
There was one that was really, really bad.
Yeah, like, for example, it was saying, like, Subban was going to get 85 points last year.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? I have a copy of, actually, I don't even know if I have a copy of it anymore, but I was reading it in a supermarket, and it was the worst magazine I ever read.
Yeah.
So if I could steer someone away from that magazine, I'd be very positive, not trying to kill their rankings, but the ones I've had the most success with were the Hockey News, and there's a few other ones as well that are pretty decent, but that one in particular was pretty off. So
yeah, find the magazine that you like, find an app that you like.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not just looking at your own team.
Yeah, exactly.
Research, very important. So number one, know your league. Number two, do your research. Number three is probably one of the most important, and we've talked about this throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. Be involved with the league.
Yeah.
Make trades. Respond to trades. There's nothing worse than you sending out a trade to someone. Maybe it's not a good trade. Maybe it's a really good trade. And just radio silence.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at least say no. If you don't like the trade, say no. Say yes.
Yeah, no, exactly. Be involved. If you get a trade offer and you don't like it, then counter offer with a more egregious offer to make him say no. At least you're being involved. Yeah, try to make friends with the people you're in. Like, make relationships. The more friendly you get people, maybe the more lenient they'll be with you on trades later. Find out what they like. They'll find out what you like. But yeah, be involved. You know, at the end of the day, it's a social thing. You're in a group with like 9-10 other people. You should try to make an effort to talk to these people. And, you know, like, there's ways you can talk. I know we have like we have a chat app that we have everyone basically has to be in.
Yep.
We use WhatsApp, and it's just basically anytime there's any hockey news or anytime you want to flame someone, you just type it in the WhatsApp, and it causes everyone to be sort of up to speed with everyone else kind of thing.
Yep.
And I mean, having a really quiet league is not very fun. See each other like once a year, and you're just like, wow, like, okay, cool. Like, congrats on last year, and you never see the guy again. Like, who cares, right? So, yeah.
And it's up to each individual manager to do their own part.
Yeah.
If you're going to just let your team rot, but you're going to be talking in the app, that doesn't help anyone either.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be involved in all aspects. When guys get injured, put them in the IR spot. Pick up someone else.
Yeah.
Don't just leave your guys in the IR for 3 or 4 months and then wonder why you finished fifth.
Yeah.
Right? That's not going to be good for anyone. That doesn't help you.
Yeah. I mean, like, even if you're on the bottom, there's ways to always improve. I mean, like, pay attention. If someone's hot, like, say Mark Gessault was hot last year, you could pick him up early, and now you have a trade bait guy. Like, there's always ways you can sneak around and try to make – you can always improve your team no matter what position you are in the league. It doesn't matter. There's always ways to improve.
Yeah.
And the more active you are, it correlates with success, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The higher active you are, the more you pay attention, the more you talk to people, chances are the better you're going to do every year. Yeah. Just because it puts you out of your comfort zone, you learn more things, and it's the way to go. So just be involved for sure.
The main ones for the be involved, get an app. Yeah. WhatsApp is what we use. Facebook is good for that. They got a messenger on there. You can all join that.
There's countless chat apps. I'm sure you can find whatever you want that works for you guys.
Yeah, just make sure you're talking to the other managers too. Mm-hmm. We've actually had to take people out of our league for not being involved.
Yeah, I mean, we've removed
showing up on draft day and then just nothing for the whole year.
It's just not fun sending someone trades, and it's just you get the Facebook notification seen, and it was like 2 months later, and you're like, wow, like, thanks. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough to have to bring that up, but don't be that guy and you won't get kicked out kind of thing. It's pretty simple. Like, if you want to be in a hockey pool, treat it like anything else and, you know, try to be involved.
Yeah. I want to throw some stuff from the, like, if you're making a league.
Yes.
Being involved is very important. Like I said before, we do a manager's meeting to just talk about rules.
Yeah.
And then we didn't do this before, but this year on draft day, we're going to be having a barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, getting everyone together, having beers, having burgers, you know, doing all that fun stuff, which will be more exciting. That's how you get everyone involved as a commissioner, as someone that runs the league. It's up to you to set these things in place for everyone to, you know, get to know each other and be involved.
Yeah, exactly. If you're forming a pool as a commissioner, you want to find people. They don't all have to be your friend, but you got to get everyone in there. And then when you make, you got to meet the people. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say, like, you don't have to make a pool of 8 people you know, but as long as you get people that want to know each other and meet each other, you'll all become friends and meet each other eventually. It's not a big deal.
Friends of friends are okay and stuff.
I mean, that's how we do our pool, right? I mean, like, we kind of give the reins to each people when creating and be like, okay, well, I have 2 of my really good friends in the pool. Travis has some of his really good friends in the pool. So we're like, okay, well, do those people have a people that they want to invite? So everyone sort of has like a little, so it's not just one man islands, right? Where it's just like, wow, I just got invited to this pool and there's 9 guys and I haven't spoken to one of those guys in my life before. And it's just like, well, what do I do, right? So it's good to set that up early and force them to talk to you and just, you know, it's like kindergarten, right? You all get put in like a little sandbox and you're forced to make friends. It's like kind of what you got to do with managers sometimes, is like force them to participate and act with each other, and then you can just, you know, people start, you know.
Something that I started doing a couple years ago that was kind of fun was like writing a blog.
Yeah.
So just like talking about people's picks and, you know, after the draft day, doing like a draft rating, how I thought people's drafts were went. And people seem to like it. It just gets everyone talking, and most people don't like how I rate their team, but it's fun anyway.
No, I mean, that's the point, right? I mean, we had like, the power rankings, and like, it's, you can get them to rate other people's teams as well. And you're like, oh, what do you think? Who's the number 1 to 10 of this year so far? Like, we do like a unanimous worst pick of the draft every year.
Yeah.
I think it was Plekanec last year was ours. Poor guy. But yeah, there's lots of fun things you can do as a commissioner to get people involved.
But it's also up to the managers. So
at the end of the day, be involved. It doesn't matter what we do to force you. We're here to try to facilitate, make it fun for people, the new guys and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, even if you just aren't, receptive to what we're doing, you're going to get kicked, right? I mean, you got to put it on yourself to join and do stuff.
Yeah, and there are people that don't have the time, and maybe that type of league isn't right for them, which will segue into the next one. Get in a good league, a league that's right for you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I only have a quick point for this. One of my very, very first hockey pools I joined was Keeper League in Edmonton, and it was the most over-my-head league I've ever been in my life. Like, I mean, I was doing point leagues for maybe a year or 2 years before I joined this.
And then
a friend of a friend, or sorry, a friend, no, yeah, I guess he was my friend. My friend invited me. He's like, oh, we got a spot in our league opening up. And I was like, oh, cool, man. I want to do anything as I can. And you get there and it's just like all these hardcore guys. They all narrow everything. They're just crushing you. You have no idea. Your team's already 7 years behind because these guys have been drafting for like 10 years. I know it seems cool and you want to be like, oh, I want to be involved in these kind of things. But at the end of the day, like, just, you know, join something that's your level and stuff like that. Like, to me, going back, I would have just left. There's no point. I think I spent 3 years in that pool and I think I didn't finish better than 10th. Like, it was just a pointless. I had like some dead team that some guy left after like 10 years of just failed drafting. So,
yikes.
You just got to join what's good for you, man. If you're a casual guy and you don't want to meet anyone, just go on Yahoo and just type it in. pool, whatever. Draft your team when the notification comes up and disappear till the end of the year.
Yeah, there's tons of leagues there's online if you want to do that.
Millions, yeah, exactly.
If you want to be involved in one, then you need to do a little more.
Yeah.
You just broke our first rule, know your league.
Yeah.
When you went into that other one.
No, I didn't. I just assumed, I was like, hey, I know hockey players. I was like, I can go in there and clean these guys up. And then, you know, you go in there and I'm like, this is the worst pool I've ever been into. I hated the scoring. I hated the rules. I hated everything about it, but I was just still there. So if I would have knew these things beforehand, then I wouldn't have did it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to say don't get bullied into a league you don't want to join or anything, but...
Well, if you're going to join those leagues, you have to know it before.
Yeah.
To know what you're getting into. Because maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to get my clock cleaned because this is some sort of keeper league. Mm-hmm. But maybe you didn't know enough about it. Maybe you would have steered away, or maybe you would have asked them for some sort of, you know, for them to factor your picks being so low in.
Yeah, I mean,
type of scoring.
I got like the drug dealer deal where it's like the first year's free, man.
Oh,
I didn't have to pay because they had everyone pay a year in advance. So I got the team for free on the first year. And I was like, okay, I'm expecting to have just a trash team first year, right? But there was just no way to recoup what was left to me. It was just shambles. So, exactly. Know your league. Like, I should have asked the rules. I just blindly joined because I was on, like, you know, thinking I was a hockey drafter god, and I wanted to get into as many pools as I could. And then it turned out to be, like, one of the most brutal, boringest pools I've ever been in, and that was basically it.
Along with getting in a good league, it's important for you as, like, a commissioner and stuff to make the league good for everyone else.
Yeah.
So a website is really important. Getting a website that everyone can access,
mm-hmm.
whether it's through the mobile app or finding a computer, and make sure it's easy to use for people. If you're in a league where everyone's over 80, maybe you're going to write everything on pen and paper.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not going to use a website, but everyone should be using some sort of website, some sort of scoring format that makes it easy to calculate every day, that you don't have to write it down by yourself. And that's a sign of a good league, is when that stuff is already set up for you. So you can come in, you join the league, you see it on the webpage.
Yeah.
You can name your team, see the scoring.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many pool websites out there that I'll take your money from you. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We donate to office pools for the past 10 years.
Yep.
Not the flashiest site by any means, but it does facilitate all our scoring needs. It has a daily, hourly, gamely update. Like, you can see the points on the fly when games are up. Yeah, so that's basically the site we use. I think it only costs like $20. Everyone chips in a couple bucks, or we just rotate between who pays the $20 every year, kind of thing.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, some of them you can find for free. I think some of the Yahoo ones are for free. It just depends what you want to get out of it. We have a complicated scoring system, so we need certain sites that lets us do this. If we were in like a free points only one, you can get away with anywhere for free and just
Yahoo, TSN,
Yahoo, any of those guys will do it for free. You don't have to worry about it.
Sportsnet and stuff, they all have fantasy sites.
Our thing to touch on is, if you're creating a league, is try to get everyone in the same skill as you within like, obviously no one's going to be the same, but like, it's just more fun, you know, if you have everyone at the same sort of level, especially if you don't know anything. Having nine other guys that don't know anything is like fantastic.
Yeah,
because that's when we started our pools, is like none of us knew what we were doing. I mean, I remember drafting Nicholas Backstrom, the goalie, with my first overall pick, like 10 years ago. I mean, like, that's just where I didn't know anything. Like, and that's fun though, because you learn these gems and stuff like that, and people, and so, and it's just more fun. Nobody wants to be a shark and then like just crush a pool of like 10 people because like nobody knows anything. Like, that's not fun. That's not good for the league, right? No one's going to stick around in that. So
that's another thing that I wanted to bring up with this skill comment, getting a league that has similar skills to you. If you find someone, or someone's coming in that isn't quite up to like your level, it's okay to help them and to make them better, because that'll improve the whole league. If someone sits at the draft and they draft someone that's in the minors, you know, don't hold it against them. Say, are you sure? Like, they're not in the NHL right now, or, you know, that guy's injured right now. Are you sure you want to pick him up? You don't have to bust people's balls when they're doing these kind of things. Get them up to your level. Say, well, you know, maybe there's another player here. There's more defensemen, or there's a couple forwards that are better than that option.
Yeah.
And we have had people come into the league that were not very good at fantasy hockey, but have gotten better because we've helped them. Don't help them all the time.
Oh, no. Yeah, for sure.
But bring them up, you know, get their level up a little bit higher so that they can be competitive in the league.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I one of my friends who joined the pool 3 or 4 years ago, he didn't watch hockey. He didn't do anything. He just liked the Penguins, liked the Flames and stuff like that. That's what he did. And I brought up the idea of the pool. I didn't think he'd even be interested, but he said he really wanted to do it. And obviously the first draft or something like that was very, you know, team-centric to what they knew, not very comfort zones. And then in the offseason, I was like, hey, man, like, you can ask me questions. You can help me. I can give you advice on picks, like ideas that I would do. And then eventually they learn and they look outside their teams and you can grow. And like there's nothing wrong with helping someone. I mean,
yeah,
we have some rules during the draft because now everyone's sort of on the same page. Where, like, if you literally draft someone who's injured, then it's like, that's it, right? Like, we try to go over stuff. Like, we'll talk about some stuff before the draft. Be like, oh, hey, is Steen injured? Like, you can ask questions before so you don't have to, like, waste picks and stuff like that. And then everyone will research for you. It's not a big deal. Like, we're not going to, like, total stickler you. But, yeah, I mean, if you need help, ask for help. And the same thing is, like, just, yeah, you want to try to get everyone close to what, you know,
yeah,
the high, like, because, like, it's like classic, like, you know, the pool is only as strong as its weakest link. And if you have a guy with, like, just total no knowledge and has, like, it's just not fun for anyone because it's like, wow, you're
exactly,
like,
that's exactly it.
Yeah, you're 400 points behind. Like, that's not even fun for anyone. Like, come on, like, yeah, no one wants to, like, we got to help this guy, we got to do something like that, or like, are you even interested? Like, and there's nothing wrong with losing, but like, colossally not knowing anything and just like getting shellacked is not fun for anyone. It's hard to come back to a pool knowing, like, wow, okay, I just got, you know, I feel like I just donated my money. Like, what was the point of me even being here, right?
And the same play, same token as that, if you're going to win all the time.
Yeah.
Because there's all these, like, new guys in there. Yeah. I mean, you're winning.
Yeah.
But these guys are drafting like they don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Drafting all Colorado Avalanche players.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if I really wanted to win a pool, for sure, I'd go down and find 10 people I don't even know anything. I'd be like, hey, you guys want to do a hockey pool? $10 each. And then go shellack them. And be like, wow, I'm so good at a fantasy hockey. Yeah. Like, who cares? Yeah. It's, I don't know, you want to beat people and you want to lose to people that are better than you is how you get better.
Yep.
Like, exactly. You'll never improve unless you start losing or dealing with people that, I don't know. There's always stuff you can learn, even as people who are been doing it forever.
And yeah.
If you find yourself as a person who's in this situation and say you're winning all these pools, then don't get too high on yourself and think you're, like, amazing. Try to find the next level of pool.
Yep.
Try to keep moving up, moving up, moving up. And once you start losing, you could be like, wow, there is more I can learn. There's stuff I can do. There's things I can improve, drafting strategies up and down. And with our pool, every year the draft gets better.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually incredible. Like, we have some of our lists from 2011, and they're just terrible. Yeah. Like, just terrible lists. And then you come to these years, and each list is, like, gets more competitive, more competitive, more competitive. And that's what you want to see every year, and it's really, really cool. Because you got guys coming in, and you're like, if you hear guys saying, oh, that was my pick, over and over, you're in a good league.
Yeah.
Because people are stealing from everyone, and everyone has the same mindset on most things, and that's a really cool feeling, and that's, like, the best part of the draft.
Excellent. Segueing into the next one, if you are losing all the time, number 5 on the list is don't quit.
Don't quit, man. Yeah.
never quit. There is always stuff that you can do to better your team next year,
mm-hmm,
or to stay involved, trade picks away. That's something that we really found that helps our league a lot, is if you're doing draft picks for next year.
Yeah, this is, I think, is a must for leagues.
I agree.
Yeah.
Ever since we did it, people are staying till the end of the year, trading picks away to better their team for next year.
Yeah, I think this is the best thing we've done for our league recently. A lot of people don't like it, but I think once you have a group of people and you've done a couple years of drafting and everyone likes each other and stuff like that, you got to add draft picks because, like, it's actually hilarious to see people tank their teams to actually improve it for next year. I mean, we had a guy tank his team just to draft McDavid.
Yep.
And looking back, hey, why wouldn't I have done it, right? I mean, yeah, it sounds gross to throw a whole fantasy season away, but it's just cool little things you can do to get rewards. I mean, you can finish, like, whatever last, but you can sell your team, accumulate a bunch of great, great keepers. I know the guy who finished bottom two in our league, for example, has Stamkos, Carlson, like, Murray, just, like, monster keepers for next year.
Yeah.
And has all these high draft picks. So, say you do bad 1 year, then you can come back, recoup, and just crush the next year. Like, there's no reason to quit. There's always ways to improve your team, get better keepers. Like, trades is always, it's always a seller's market. Yep. And you can always prey on the guys on the top that need the picks, no matter what. And if you wait long enough, and if you're cunning enough or evil enough or however nice nice you want to be to these people, people will come to you, they will ask you, and you can rake these guys and just get the picks you need for next year and come in and just dominate the next year.
Yep.
So just, yeah, don't quit. Be involved. There's always ways to do it.
Yeah, then one thing, if you're losing and you're like at the bottom of the league, maybe doing like those 2-for-1 deals.
Yeah.
Maybe saying, well, I have X player and X player, trade me for Malkin so I can keep him next year, so I can have my roster next year. Yeah,
exactly.
And you get two guys maybe to...
to help you win this year.
To help you win this year. Make those kind of moves, and then you're ensuring that you're always involved and you're not just one of the guys mailing it in.
Yeah.
And you're bettering your team for the next year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in a points-only league or a non-keeper league or stuff like that, well, I guess non-keeper leagues could still do the picks. You just don't keep anyone. You just do pick swaps. So it's not that different. But I know it's hard. If you're in a points-only league and you have no bearing on next year, this is why I don't like those pools.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you just literally find out in the first 2 months where you're at. And you're like, okay, I'm 6 out of 9. It's like, yeah, sweet, man. See you guys next year kind of thing. And that's pools we've done way, way before. And I just don't like those. Try to make your pool active as possible. Try to make ways to have people always doing stuff and trying to improve for next year. Because I got to admit, there's times when I finished, like, I think before we did it, like 8th or 9th, and you're like, yeah, it's November, my team's tanked, like, who cares, I'll see you guys next year kind of thing, like,
and redraft next year.
Yeah, and redraft, right? And it's just like, you feel like you wasted your money, your time, you don't even want to watch hockey anymore, like, it doesn't, like, it's just pointless, right? So find a way to keep people involved for the next years is like a really, really good thing you can do as a commissioner, and a good idea for people to join pools as well.
Exactly. If you're a commissioner, you need to have the years all meld together.
Yeah, you need longevity for the pool. You need, like, yeah, exactly.
Keepers picks are like the number two, one and two things that you can do for keeping it rolling.
Yeah.
You don't want to have a start and stop every year.
Yeah.
Just a cut and dry team. So with keepers and picks rolling over to next year, that keeps everyone active. That's a very good point for a commissioner that's starting a league.
Mm-hmm.
Another good idea, number six. So how many do we got? We got three more left. We got know your league, do your research, be involved, get in a good league that's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quit. Number six, prizes.
Yeah, prizes.
Why not?
Have fun prizes, man. If you're all poor, then whatever. Y'all pitch in $5 at the end of the year, winner gets a jersey or something. Like, or make a fake trophy or something, or like make a funny, stupid prize. Like, it doesn't have to be every pool is $150 entry fee and the winner gets this or whatever. See what people like and see what they want to do.
Money is always the best. Yeah, people like money the best.
People like money, exactly.
And we were talking about this before, that if you're doing money, maybe do like a first, second, and third.
Yeah,
fine. Or kind of divide it a little bit so that it's not just like, oh, if you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, exactly. If you win first, you get $600. If you're second, you get $80, and then third's nothing. And she's like, wow, why would I ever care, right? I mean, split it up. I mean, finishing in the top 3 out of 9 players is pretty important. It means you did well, so you should get at least financially compensated. We do, like, at least your buy-in plus more minimum. So, like, it's not just, oh, I finished third, I get my year for free. I get an extra $50 or something like that, so it feels like I did it. First place isn't some runaway disgusting prize, but as long as it's, like, 4 times your buy-in or something, people usually do it.
Yeah, it's still worth it. And a lot of people just do, like, $10 buy-ins
or
something like that, just to keep everyone interested. Jerseys, really good.
Yeah, stupid trophies, bragging rights.
Belt, championship
belt. Yeah, championship belt. You can have bets. You can humiliations.
That's another thing. Like, if you lose.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have something for the people that lose. Like, the top player gets to pick the name of the team.
Yeah, that's what we do in our league, yeah. Like, the winner picks the last player's team's name or whatever. It's a funny thing. So, you go, like, there's always ways you can make stuff around it. And again, yeah, it's a commissioner. Agree with everyone wants to pay. Agree with everyone wants to do. Obviously, the longer pools you want, the more involved people get. People would want to do more money or more whatever. Then you can build up to it. I think we're at $75 an entry. So you can get up to like almost $800 in the pool kind of thing. And then you divvy it up. And so you can feel kind of significant at the end. But yeah, exactly. I mean,
there's no reason to jump up to those higher numbers right away either.
Exactly. Yeah, so I was going to say, like, this is perfect for know your league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a newbie, don't jump into a $75 league.
Yeah.
I promise you're just going to be stressing out the whole time. Find a buddy league that costs you $5.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want to do. If you asked me 10 years ago, hey, Jesse, you want to join a $75 pool? I'd be like, there's no chance.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why? Like,
I'm going to just take my money?
I'm literally donating. Yeah, exactly, right? So exactly, same thing. Find what people are willing to pay. Find what you are personally willing to pay. As long as, like, a pool shouldn't be, man, I really have to win to get my money back.
Yeah.
Because if you're feeling that, like, that's...
But I got to pay my rent.
Yeah, that's awful. I mean, I've been in pools like that. I think 1 year I was really, really poor, and I think I was a $70 pool. And I was like, man, I actually really need this $300, and I hope I win. And I just stressed out the whole year. But, yeah, you want to have a, you know, a, not a totally useless amount of money, but a money that isn't going to affect your day-to-day life. Like, don't join crazy pools and stuff like that. Like, even if you asked me to, hey, Jesse, you wanted to join a $1,000 pool, I'd be like, there's no way.
No.
I don't care how good I think I am. There's no way. I'm doing... $70 is enough for me.
This isn't high stakes poker.
Yeah, like, I don't care. Like, it's, that's, but if you're that kind of person and you think you're doing it, of course, do it if it's what you want to do. But if you're new, just, you know, stick to the low stakes and just, you'll have a much better time.
Yeah, and the jerseys are always fun. In the football pool I'm in, we actually have like a jersey ceremony.
Yeah, I saw that.
So whoever wins gets the jersey at the end of the year, and it's just like a $5-$7 buy-in or something, but they get the jersey. We have a barbecue. We put it on the champion.
Yeah,
and
they give like a speech and stuff like that.
Yeah, they give a speech.
Which is really cool. You get to flame the other owners. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, just having fun. It doesn't have to be, but have something for that first place person.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to win money, but winning should be the better feeling.
Yeah.
Like when I win pools that I'm in, I just like winning. I don't care about the money I'm getting. I just like being able to say, hey, I'm number one. The bragging rights are worth it all. Like, that's it for me. I could care less if I win my buy-in back. I'm like, okay, awesome. I'm free for next year. But at the end of the day, you want to be like, you know, you should feel like winning should be more important than winning the prize, is basically what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah, it just feels good, man.
Yeah, it feels good. Exactly.
All right, let's keep going. Number seven. This is one for a little bit more of experienced players, but it's very important.
Yeah.
It kind of encompasses all of these.
Yeah.
Like, do your research, be involved, get in a good league. Number seven, keep it fresh.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to suggest new rules. If you're the commissioner, don't be afraid to say, I want to try something this year. A couple years ago, I'm going to take the credit for it. Someone in our league said PIM.
Yeah.
We said, let's try hits. Let's try penalty minutes. And we tried it for a year, and it didn't quite work out how we had it set up, so we tweaked a little bit. And now it's an active part of our pool and how we draft for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. If you have ideas you want to bring up, I mean, literally just this year we brought up a rookie rule.
Yep.
And it's been really well received and it's super fun. And that's just a little thing you can add. And it's just like, there's always things you can do. Just make sure, you know, as a commissioner, you're not like some stonewall that has to control everything and you can't listen to anyone else's opinions. That's why we have the manager meetings like that. Like,
yes,
we are the commissioners, but it doesn't mean we're better than anyone or have any more extra rights than anyone. If someone disagrees with what I want to do, then of course I'm going to listen to them. And if we don't like it, we'll veto it. It's not a big deal. Like, we vote on it. It's like, sure you are the commissioner. Every group needs like whatever, a leader, I guess, for a really weak use of word there. But, you know, don't run it as a dictatorship, basically what I'm trying to say. It's like, be open to rules. You want people to be able to have their opinions be heard. And then that goes for managers as well. If there's something you don't really like, don't just stew on it the whole year.
Yeah. Don't just say, I hate this league because they do PIM.
Yeah. Just be like, man, I really don't like this rule, or I really don't like this idea. And then it'd be at the end of the year, just be like, yeah, that was a really stupid pool. And that thinks I'm done, right? Like, let people know stuff early. Try to be, I don't know, just let your voice be heard and hopefully people can listen to you.
And don't be afraid to change them. Like, when stuff like that comes up, we've had stuff in our pool this year that we were like, no, that doesn't, that's not really what we wanted to happen.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out how we had it thought in our mind. Yeah. And we voted on it. We said yes. So we tried it for this year, but now it's going to be changed. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with starting something at the beginning, wait till the end, change it, alter it, make it work better for you the next year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you should always be amending, adding stuff. Basically, the thing is just try not to keep it stale, the same thing in and out every year. I know there's only so much you can do with hockey pools, but there's always little things you can
add. I think we change it every year.
I think, yeah, for the most part, there's always something that gets improved or increased or decreased point-wise or player number wise, like draft. There's always something that goes up and down.
Or trades or IR spots or free agency, anything like that. You can and talk about it with your team. Talk about it with your league and see what they like. Maybe two or three of you are like, oh, we're on the same page. This needs to change for next year.
Yeah.
Let's bring this up. That's why we have managers meetings, so that we can talk about those things.
Yeah.
And before the league starts, we kind of all get together, Skype or in person, and talk about ways to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Keep the league going. Keep it exciting.
Yeah. And also, I mean, be flexible too. I mean, if there's something you don't like, but like 7 or 9 people vote for it, like, I'm not trying to say suck it up, but like understand that, you know, this is just how the pool is going to be. And unfortunately, I know it's not to some people's likings. I mean, it's hard to get a 909 democracy in our pool. And I've had lots of things where I've been the super minority and been voted 72 against. And you just got to let it go. I mean, there's things that you want that people just definitely do not want. Yeah. And you just, it's not a slight on yourself or anything like that. You just have to take it, be flexible, adapt with your pool, and just, you know, you're never going to join a perfect thing that all 10 people or whatever are going to be like, bang, this rule is exactly how I would do it. You're never going to find that. I mean,
on the same notes of that rule,
there's so many.
There's tons and tons of rules you can change. Just our, going back to my football pool that I'm in, we had a manager's meeting last year, agreed on a rule, and then this year it got changed. So out of the 12 teams, we voted in favor last year, but this year people are like, well, I didn't really care for that.
Yeah.
We're going to change it back. Stuff like that can happen. Keep it fresh. Keep it active. And that's, again, your job as a manager to talk, speak up. We had some some rules this year that we implemented that people were like, well, I thought that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
We're like, well, I didn't hear you say anything.
Yeah.
Or I didn't hear your vote. I didn't hear... Everyone, and then it's, you know, just, everyone just kind of agreed on it, so it was okay. But talk, let people know what you think of rules. There were some good points that were brought up last year about rules that now I'm thinking differently about.
Yeah.
So just keep it fresh. Keep it, it's an ever-evolving league. Do what the people want.
Yeah.
You'll have a good league.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, as long as people feel like their voices are being heard and you're changing, like... Just, yeah, essentially, just don't run as a dictatorship. Don't have the same rules every year and, you know, be flexible. Have I mean, it just gets into the last rule, man.
Yep.
The last rule we have.
What's the last one?
Well, number 8 is have fun, man.
Oh, feels good.
Like, yeah, the prizes are the main reason people join pools and stuff like that. Like, wow, or the bragging rights of crushing your friends and be like, oh, I know more hockey than you do. Yeah, these are all great, but you got to have fun, man.
Yep.
Like in my that Edmonton league I was in, yeah, even if I would have won, I wouldn't have had fun. Like, the whole point is to draft free agents faster than your other friends or talk about how great your 11th pick was versus their 3rd pick. I mean, you got to have fun. You want to, like, get some pride in your team, pride in your drafting, and you got to be able to give it as much as you can take it. That's the main thing.
Yep.
If you want to flame someone's team, you got to be very receptive to having your own team flamed. Yep. I mean... I get roasted every year for a trade I offer or pick I make, and that's just how the pool goes. I mean, I welcome it every year, and you got to be able to, like, be light, have fun about it. Don't take things too personal. Not everyone's out to get you, hopefully, in your pool.
If you're not having fun, there, it's you not should
the
maybe
pool.
Leave.
Yeah, it's not the pool for you, exactly. If you don't look forward to draft day, if you don't look forward to anything out of it, then chances are you're not in a pool you want to be, then maybe you should stick to the online ones or find a different group of people kind of thing that are more suited to your, you know, find your right pool, as we've said before.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I mean, draft day is like the greatest day of the year for me. I mean, I look forward to it every day. It's so fun. And if you don't feel the same, unfortunately, then there's a chance you're not in the right pool. So,
yeah. And it's not up to the commissioner to get you to have fun. I mean, the commissioner is going to be putting forth the best league that they can have, but it's up to you to have fun. You're doing all these things. You're researching. You're being involved. You're getting in a good league. You're fighting for the prizes.
Yeah.
You are going to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the bottom line. You're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, you are. I mean, I love the hockey pool. It's the funnest thing I do every year. I don't care if I finish first or last. I'm always going to have the same amount of fun. It's just... I don't know. It's great once you get to know the people you're doing it, and hopefully these are the leagues you can find. And
if you find that you're not having fun, you know, do something that's going to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if...
Start a blog.
Yeah, if certain things are just not it for you, I mean... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, say there's only so many things you can bring up to the commissioner, and the commissioner's like, no, we're not doing this, or no, we're not doing this, then yeah, it's time to leave kind of thing. Like, I mean, and as the same way, if you are a commissioner and you find people are like constantly leaving your pools or constantly not paying attention, then you got to ask these people why. I mean, we've had these issues before, and it's just like, well, what can we do that would make you active all year? Like, what can we have? And it's just like, okay. Hey, Jesse, we only have 5 trades a year. That kind of sucks. Be like, we can't, it's hard to stay involved when you only have 5 trades. Like, okay, that's a great idea. So we doubled it the next year, 10 trades. And it's like, yeah, 10 trades are good, but we could do more. Or maybe that's too much. Like, you gotta, it's a two-way street. If you find people are just totally checked out, then you gotta reach out to them, ask them what's going on. And if they don't give you, like, if they give you no answer that they don't want to be helped, they don't want to be helped, unfortunately. And that's just the nature of the league. You cut them and you move on. You may feel like a bad person, but you can't let your league die and get stagnant with these people that just don't want to do anything and talk, because it's horrible. I mean, you want to have fun as a commissioner too, right? So
I wonder if there's a place online that, like, some forms or something of, like, people looking to get into fantasy hockey leagues.
I was wondering that. I don't know if there's, like... Because, I mean, yeah, obviously you can go to Yahoo and stuff like that and join a free league and not know anyone, and you could have, like, 1,000 leagues in the year. But to join, like, an actual in-person group and join... It's a very... I wonder if there's, like, Fantasy Anonymous or something that you could be like, hey, I'm new to Medicine Hat, or I'm new to wherever city I live in kind of thing, and be like, I'm looking for a hockey pool kind of thing.
Yeah. Maybe there is. Where people are, like, just in search of...
Craigslist for hockey pool.
Yeah. In search of a keeper pool, something. Maybe we could get, like, someone to build a website for us and have, like, a community of people that are, like, looking for leagues, and they can get into little leagues by themselves.
Because, I mean, if you're new to a town, I mean, it's a really great way to meet people.
Yeah.
I mean, if I moved somewhere, I mean, why not? Meet 10 other new guys or girls, whoever's joining in your league, hang out, make some friends, you know? Especially if they're active. I mean, it's a great way to get... you know, sense of community, stuff like that. So
I guarantee everyone has talked to a coworker about sports.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean,
it's like one of the things that comes up is sports, or do you like hockey, football, soccer, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like sports, whatever, it's not a big deal. Like, I mean, I'm not gonna try to tell you to force you to be in a pool, but any place you go to, I guarantee they're gonna be like, hey, just see the game last night, be it football, be it hockey, be it whatever. So there's no shortage of sports fans out in the world, that's for sure. So
there we go. That's our next big ticket idea.
There you go.
It's like forms where we can get people into leagues.
Yeah.
All right. So recapping the list here, we got know your league, do your research, be involved, get in a good league that's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quit. Get some prizes going. Keep it fresh and have fun.
Exactly. If you have anything else you want to add, hit us up on the Twitter, the Facebook. If you want things us to elaborate, or if you have trouble with your pool and you think, hey, Jesse or Travis, we run this, we have this certain issue, something like that, what would you recommend? Yeah, if we have time, we'll definitely look at your stuff and look over what we can do to have. I'm not saying our pool is perfect by any means, but we've been running it for like 10 years in a row, and every year we try to get feedback and try to mold it into this like perfect amalgamation of everyone's ideas and try to go from there. And yeah, I mean, we'll give away our scoring if you want. If you want to try our scoring for a year, you go ahead, see if it fits you. If it doesn't, then hey, man.
Yep.
Like, we're always open to help. And again, we're not trying to say that we are, like, the elite of the elite pools. We're just as clueless in some things as most people are. This is just our experience that we've done through, and stuff that we found that worked best for us. So hopefully, you know, this helps you as either a commissioner or a new guy joining a pool.
Yep.
And... yeah, exactly. I mean, just have fun, man. Like, that's the point. I mean, we don't do podcasts because it's not fun. We do it because we like talking about hockey. We like doing it what it is, and this is stuff we enjoy. So
you guys know where to get us, at Fantasy NHL Talk, Facebook and Twitter. It's starting to heat up. People are starting to get the hockey itch.
Yeah, I mean,
we're gonna start heating up here. We're gonna do lots of like team breakdowns and all this stuff coming up. So
yeah, I mean, I've already been fantasizing, I guess, about Eberle's point totals and stuff like that. I mean, there's just stuff you just all off season stuff you can do to keep up. So yeah, there's no shortage. We'll get tons of more podcasts out here soon, do some team reviews. Again, if you guys have ideas that we want, maybe we can combine them into some stuff. If you want specific information, if it's not enough for a blog, maybe we'll rate you a response, or for a pod, I mean, sorry. So, nonetheless, summer, lots of time to do stuff.
Hockey is coming.
Hockey is coming.
All right. Thanks for listening. That's all the time we got for today. Get hyped.